Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's and joining me here at Access Astrology. I think Mark's out there. Mark, is that you?
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins calling it in.
Okay, cool. Heather, I recognize the number, but it's a 914. I think of that as Mark. But yeah, I started with Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. I'm like, wait, no, it's Access Astrology. Mercury retrograde already, Heather. Oh my God.
I know. We can feel it coming, can't we? We've ended that shadow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, so anyway, this is Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York City, and I am joined by my friend Heather. Go, Heather.
Heather Rowan Robbins out here in Ronan, Montana, and usually we have Mark Woltz also with us, who will probably join us later.
Yeah, he usually
hops
in. And
that's lovely.
And
the three of us will be doing a workshop together in New York City. If you want to come work with all three of us in the first weekend in March, Anne's website and mine have information about it. You can just Google us.
Sign up. You can come and play at the door. You can come pay online. A couple people have asked if we're going to record it, and I said I didn't know. So don't plan on it being recorded. That feels a little daunting, but we'll see. But anyway, we're going to be covering horary astrology. And interestingly today, I got a phone call from someone saying, can you tell me where my neighbor's planner is?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, and it was from Kate, my assistant. So I cast the chart and I go, okay, Kate, it's here. And she looks at me like I have four heads. And I'm like, what? She goes, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I called this woman, the number was there. I called her back and I said, well, you know, the planner. And I told her where the planner would be and blah, 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 blah. And I hung up. So it's good for that. It's like, where's the planner? Yeah, it's where did I lose stuff to, you know?
That's good. And I think we're joined by Mark now.
How do I find things? Pardon?
Mark, are you there?
Hi, yes. Hello, this is Mark Woltz.
Wonderful. So all three, we got the gangs all here. I will not be here next Wednesday, but I will be the following Wednesday.
Okay, cool. And, are you going somewhere exciting?
There is a movie and discussion here in the area on megafires. And we have some scientists coming in for an evening talking about the weather conditions because the fires can get really scary in Montana in the summertime. I'm surrounded by the most beautiful pine forest, and all winter long it snows and rains. And then about June it stops, and you get almost no rain. I mean, maybe one day of rain until the end of September.
Wow.
And in that fire season, it can get kind of scary. So, and we're really feeling the brunt of climate change. And after this extreme winter, we may be pretty wild this summer. So the Forest Service and the Forestry Department at the Tribal College are putting this on, and I really want to understand what's going on there with that.
Did you not have a lot of rain this winter?
We've gotten a pretty good snowpack. It hasn't quite made normal, but it's getting there, which is so our aquifers will be full, which is good. And as Uranus goes into Taurus, coming up, we are going to feel that shift. You know, the last time Uranus was in Taurus was around the New Deal, and this, the Green New Deal, you know, the chance to make some real changes on the earthly realm are supported by Uranus and Taurus and the demand that it be done, right?
Well, so the WTA was last 84 years ago. And also this week we have Chiron going into Aries for the first time in 50 years. So I was preparing, I'm doing a webinar on it next week, and I was preparing some of the stuff for it. And, of course, it was, you know, 1968. So it was the assassinations of Martin Luther King and then Bobby Kennedy. It was gay pride. It was abortion, birth, Roe v. Wade. The time before was Planned Parenthood getting funded and the initial rise of the Ku Klux Klan, interestingly, because they're back in the news again with Klan, you know, with Spike Lee's
extreme
movie, but also
directions.
With the... and then the gay pride. So it was kind of... it's an interesting repeat because Chiron's going to be in Aries for 8 years starting next week on the 18th. So, you know, so these are big. When these big outer planets change signs for 8 years, it's a generational change, and we really feel it. So that's pretty cool. And I do think the energy with, like, okay, we have to change the world and make it fit, make it work again. because otherwise we're going to burn down is a good one. Yeah, you don't want your house to burn down in the summer. So
no.
Definitely, you have our permission to go to the meeting, Heather. Not that you needed it, but, you know.
No,
Mark and I are like,
that.
No, Heather,
you
have to keep yourself safe. Huh?
You cover for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think we're all getting signs that the change isn't, you know, the heavy snow in Hawaii this week is another sign that things are really shifting and we need to deal with it and be cognizant. It's not in the future. It's happening. And
right.
How do we do that?
Yeah. Heavy snow in Hawaii. I missed that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they
had the
storm come in from the north.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought 60-foot waves to the north shore of Oahu. And Big Island with the altitude got the snow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I heard that if you step outside and look at the big mountain there, from Tim Rubald, who is a wonderful astrologer living in Hawaii, it says that it looked as beautiful as Mount Fuji ever did, with the giant cone of the mountain covered with snow at the top.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is pretty
That's wild.
Wild.
Yeah, that is wild. I did not. I guess I obviously don't have myself tuned into Hawaii. I didn't even know it snowed in Hawaii. But yeah,
I don't think it has before. Or
well, it
you know,
did
it
now.
It does on the top of that highest.
Highest mountain.
On the top of the highest mountain. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So tomorrow Mars goes into Taurus, and it leaves Aries, and I think a lot of people that have been buzzing with that Aries energy are going to be vastly relieved.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble is, if a fight started with Mars and Aries, as Mars conjunct Uranus this morning, if it started over the last 2 weeks, when Mars goes into Taurus, it will tend to entrench.
Yeah.
Because Mars and Aries, you know, have a good fight and you can clear the air. Mars and Taurus does slow to boil, but doesn't let go.
Right.
So if there are any old resentments left from kindness and honesty and effort to keep clearing it this week, and it's worth it.
Yeah. Because the desire is not
to
clear it.
Aries.
Yeah.
Trying to make it work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not just make a quick grab for what I can carry and run off.
Mm. Yeah. And that's going to be an interesting part of the process.
Hmm. Well, I like Mars and Taurus because it's good for habits. It's good for saying, I want to do this. I'm going to dig it in, and I'm going to do it. And this is how I'm going to get there. So I find it helpful for, you know, you kind of are like, okay, I'm really in the mood to do something consistent and be more focused on it, you know, or more I'm dedicating to it, kind of a dedicating energy. So that part of it's really nice because you're like, oh, okay. I'm in, I'm dedicating, and I'm working hard on it. So, And it's good for forming habits. It's in there for almost 2 months till the end of the month of May, March rather. And it allows us to get routines in place. So we're, you know, they can almost be a little painless. You know, you just kind of go, okay, that's my new routine, and I'm just going to do it. And, you know, you're feeling like, okay, ready. So that part's helpful.
I absolutely agree that the steadiness of it, I'm looking forward to just kind of the lack of buzz. I think people will sleep better.
Yeah.
You know, the call is to get back into your body.
Yeah.
Mark, do you notice how when Mars changes signs or you teach yoga, and I would imagine that's a good place to watch how people resonate with, you know, physically resonate with the astrology of the moment.
Yeah, but not.
Your cell's breaking up, Mark.
Oh, hello?
There you are. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can notice it sometimes if you're looking for it, and but it's not exactly obvious. But yeah.
But
so
I
really
can imagine
feel.
That. Yeah. And I've noticed that most people, if they like someone who worked at the emergency room or a teacher, where you look at the same petri dish, and I used to see this as a working in personnel, because I did some personnel work, HR department, that you get the same group of people, and then you can watch how the same problems come up. You know, yeah, when I worked in a natural food store, decades ago, people would always come in for sleep aids after the moon was in Aries or Gemini. You know, they would come in, they would talk about stiffness in joints if we had some heavy Saturn aspects. I mean, you could hear the process echoing in the charts, which was interesting. Always
in terms
a good,
of what
good
what
place
the
studying.
What the energy was above, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say I've had a lot of people complaining about bones and knees and teeth with this all the Saturn and Capricorn stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of feeling a little more achy, a little more old. But you know, it definitely has an impact, and we all kind of feel it when we're zooming around, going, okay, this is teeth and bones day. And now that Mercury's in Pisces for 2 months, till middle of April, actually, till April 14th, because we have a big retrograde next month, Mercury is very much about communication and water. So kind of watch for, you know, your cell phone not to go jumping in the toilet or into the sink without you, because it tends to be a very, you know, electronic things tend to be quite attractive to Neptune, and it goes, ooh, let's have a little flood here. So we're going to be working with that energy too. And also a lot of emotions, because Pisces Mercury doesn't necessarily have words, but it has song lyrics. And so it's, you know, kind of being aware of what those songs are and how they work, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had done a retreat once where the woman did, you know, when people got stuck, she would have you, you know, say a song, you know, give me a song for that. Mm-hmm. And invariably the lyric or the title or the, you know, some popular phrasing in it would be reflective of what the person was working on. So in this next month and a half, if you find yourself thinking in songs, song lyrics, you're right in tune with the Mercury in Pisces saying, yeah, the world should be musical and we should have a singing and a dancing thing going on. So.
And if your beloved isn't saying how they feel, they say, oh, I feel fine, but they're singing only blues, then you know, to pay attention to what people are humming.
Right.
And Mercury is at 6 degrees of Pisces tonight. It conjuncts Neptune February 19th. And so we're already feeling that heavy wateriness and that kind of a Mercury conjunct Neptune in Pisces is such a puddle.
Yep.
And I'm watching people feeling overwhelmed easily. So I'm saying, make sure that you use your puddle towards something positive, to tune in to something loving and beautiful and positive, rather than just be exhausted. If you feel, I'm hearing the word world weary. I'm just so weary of all these problems. I'm so, you know, the Weltschmerz is the German word for it. And I think that can be when Neptune, you know, Mercury in Pisces picks up so much. It's also slowing down to turn retrograde in beginning of March. Right after it conjuncts Neptune, it goes into its shadow because the Mercury goes all the way to 29 degrees of Pisces, then it retrogrades all the way back to 16 degrees of Pisces, then goes all the way forward again. So. And we've got only a few days before Mercury's in its shadow. If there's anything you need to straighten out or understand or say or finish, keep your eyes on it and see if you can follow through this week.
Yeah, because it's a great week to get that all done.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, okay, next, because Mars is going to go in tight into Taurus, and he gets very methodical. So he's kind of like, you know, you got a list. You know, some people go, oh, Mars and Taurus. I said, no, Mars and Taurus used to be the oxen. They would harness up the oxen. They would pair them. They would be two bulls born around the same time. They'd castrate them. They'd put them in a harness next to each other, and they would pull the plow together, or they would pull the wagon together. And so oxen are very old energy, but they're very slow but steady, but they get it done, right? So we're all going to be able to harness ourselves up a little bit, and just know, slow and steady, not going to be flash and dazzle like Aries is, But it's like, okay, next, okay, next. And if we do it that way, it just makes life much easier because we're not racing to beat the clock anymore. We're just riding the cows back into the barn. So
that's nice.
Yeah, it'll be good.
It's a plodding
energy, but
it's plodding, but it's very sure-footed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't misstep.
That Capricorn, I just posted an image on my Facebook page of a goat climbing a palm tree and climbing down the palm tree. That sure-footedness that we can tune into the Capricorn, the Saturn in Capricorn, when we have to follow through on something right now. That's an important part of the process.
Yeah, that follow-through piece.
Yes, I saw that. What you posted. It's really funny.
I thought it was pretty funny too. So this last bit, Uranus also is spending its last few weeks in Aries before it goes into Taurus. And I'm noticing, you know, when Uranus was in Aries, we had two revolutions. We had the most, you know, progressive president, the least progressive president, you know, because Aries likes extremes. It'll go direction, you know, it'll rebel in both directions. It just likes to rebel. But to think back on your last 8 years and think about what changes you've been going through and kind of come up to that summary. Last spring, Uranus popped into Taurus for 2 months and then popped back out again. So that kind of reminder to think about what changes we're bringing to the fore. So it's going to be interesting to see, and I think the review session of everything we've learned, remembered, thought, conquered right before when a planet's at the last degree. Don't you find that?
Yeah, it kind of does a shout out. It goes, hey, remember we did this, remember we did that.
Mm-hmm.
How about this
mm-hmm.
part, how about that part? And then you hear from people, you get in touch with people. It's been feeling a little bit kind of like Mercury retrograde lately. I've had a bunch of people that I haven't talked to in a while kind of checking in or checking on, you know, kind of, or getting in, you know, hearing from them and kind of going, oh, wow, haven't talked to you in a while, you know, and catching up, you know. So it's been nice that way because it does want to kind of do a little bit of a shout out and say, you know, where are you in the journey? And also, I think an awareness of the passage of time when we get to the end of a cycle like this, when the planets are getting ready to go into a new sign, they kind of do what you said, the review, but they also make us think back on there's a continuation of the story that happened when the planets entered, and there's the next part or the next chapter or almost like an epilogue, you know, at the end of a movie where they say, hey, and remember when this happened, and you go, oh yeah, I do remember when that happened, that was good. You know, because it kind of starts us on the next chapter. So it's good. Keeps us out of trouble on another level. So, yeah, it's good. And I also think, you know, with all the changes, with the Mars-Uranus conjunction, that made us feel a little fiery. Now Mars going into Taurus makes us settle down and get back to the work, and to the work of plowing and what do we have to do to plant the fields after the snow has melted and we've gotten all these great new ideas. And then with Chiron in Aries, that starts a new 50-year cycle. So for all of us, we're beginning this new energy we had a little taste of it last year when it went in for a visit and then it scooched back. But it is now it'll be in for good, and then we're going to work with this initiating energy around our soul wound or where we want to work in making things be more permanent or more focused in our world and having us see them on a different level. It's always good.
Always good.
Keeps us happy. So.
So we have a few callers on the line. Should we give them a chance here?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Okay. You want to go ahead and hit that host?
Oh, you want me? Am I the host? Okay. All right, I'm the host. Hi, 202-281, you're on the air. How can we help?
Hi, my friends.
Hi, everybody. And when were you born, and what's your question?
I was born March 5th, 1980.
March what?
March 5, 1980.
Yes, at 1:29 a.m. in Philly.
And what city?
Philadelphia, PA.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
Your hometown.
And, yeah, thanks. Good to hear you. And what can we do for you tonight?
These transits are killing me. Heather,
yeah.
I feel like a puddle. I feel like a puddle that got electrocuted.
I would imagine.
Yeah. So my last day of work is tomorrow, and I gave my exit interview today, and I just feel so blown, and I feel so used and embarrassed.
By them?
So angry. Yeah.
By
and just
the last
also
people.
Embarrassed, you know, for being so angry.
Were
and
you
then,
angry at them directly?
Yeah, you know, I worked a lot for them. I worked really hard for them.
Exactly.
And, you know, yeah,
on your Neptune is sitting right on your Sun and Mercury. That is so emotional and so, like, where do you end and where do they begin? And everything can feel so amorphous. Uranus is right on your Venus. So Uranus is electrifying you. Pluto is right square your Moon-Pluto conjunction. Everything you can, you're ringing like a bell.
Yeah.
And just kind of let, I would say, when those that many outer transits are happening, let the feelings wash through you rather than get attached to the story. Because it will shift quickly. But right now it's archetypal and huge. It's only a little bit those unpleasant people. And you gave your exit interview as Mars conjunct Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was right on. And so, you know, that's going to be a spark of anger, a spike of anger.
Yeah.
But these people are going to be so in your rearview mirror soon, you
really?
Won't even remember them.
Good. That's what I wanted to hear. That's just what I need to know.
Is that what you
see? Yeah, I know when I had the same transit a few years back, and it was Pluto on my ascendant, and it was a horrible boss. And I was in this major power struggle, and I was on a performance plan, and I had to sell $30,000, and I sold a system for $130,000, right?
Wow.
He fired me the next day, and I was so incredibly pissed. And then I went out in the world, and I'm going to tell you, with your progressed moon coming to your sun, you got about 2 months of really rolling around in the mud, okay, in the sense of feeling sorry for yourself. But the feeling. So I would go on interviews.
Okay.
And I would go, are you a sociopath too? Because I'm not sure that I know what a sociopath looks like. That other guy was crazy. And then my boyfriend at the time, after I kept going on interviews and turning them down, and I was doing programming and was doing my own thing for clients who liked me, and he said, well, why don't you just do your own business, Anne? Because you had a job offer from IBM, which back in that day was the big company to work for. And I had an offer, and I kept jerking around, taking the test and peeing in the cup and doing all that stuff. He goes, why don't you just give yourself permission to have your own thing? And I'm like, really? So Pluto square Pluto, which is a defining life experience, it brings you to your knees, but you're on the other side of it when you get back up off your knees, and right now they're a little skinned. You go, okay, never want to do it again, but I never want to give up what I learned about who I am and what's important to me. And you are showing some major learnings here. So you just have to know you've got beaten up and you got punched out and you got knocked down. And when you get back up and you got to dust yourself off and you're going to be a little achy, then what you want to do is kind of go back in and go, okay, what did I learn from this about power and power dynamics? And I want you to pick up the Power book by Robert Greene, the 44-48 Laws of Power, and kind of review what you went through, because there's techniques when people are abusing power. And you just got in the ring with one, right? And so you're out of the ring. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And next. But I will tell you, next might take a little bit of, you know, because you just got pummeled a bit. But on the other side of it, when you go further down the road, when it came time for me to start my astrology business, I was like, all right, you know, I want to do this. It gave me, because I'd done it once before. So these are really life-defining transits. And if you look at your friends born in the same year They're all having it someplace. You were having it in a career. They're having it somewhere else. Because it kind of runs in your age group, whether their partner's cheating on them or their kid's sick or they're, you know, there's something going on. So,
no, totally.
But it is a huge transit. It is not to be taken lightly. And when they say Pluto's a dwarf planet, I'm all like, yeah, Pluto is not a dwarf, man.
Not at all.
Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, it's definitely about finding your own power. And in your natal chart, Pluto opposes Venus. Venus is a little further along in its time. So you'll get this Pluto square Venus in a couple of years. And handling the Pluto square Pluto right now will teach you a lot and set you up to handle that one well. But it's about who you are in relation to others. And people are going to try to overpower you and make you feel like you don't have any power. But this is your opportunity to see, where is my circle of power? How do I stand in the middle of my circle? Never mind how big their circle is or how big they think it is. I have mine. So really be able to breathe fully within your circle of power. And it'll see you through this. And in a couple of years, you'll get a reprieve of some of that challenge, and you'll know right where to go, right into your circle of power.
With the Venus.
Yeah,
with
the Venus.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like fun to look forward to. Oh, my
God. You'll feel stronger
when you come
out of this. And
yeah, absolutely.
Stronger.
And while Neptune's still going back and forth over your Sun and Mercury, and this whole retrograde cycle, you know, Mercury's going to come back, going to hit the conjunction on your Mercury, then Mercury's going to go forward, then going to come back and turn direct on your Mercury at the end of March, you know, you're going to be doing all this emotional, just really watch where your thoughts go. Visualization, it's going to be a really powerful time to visualize where you're going, to do that personal assessment. Just watch, and if you catch yourself beating yourself up at all, drop it, put it on the altar, let it go, hand it over, and come back to visualizing where, you know, use that creative mindset to take you to where you want to go instead. That's where I don't want to go. Where do I want to go? And keep redirecting it toward, you know, use that Venus and Aries to help you move in the right direction. You're going to feel so much more settled when Uranus gets off out of your Venus.
Yeah, enter. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you've got all those Virgo planets that are retrograde, right? So once we get to April, both Saturn and Jupiter go retrograde. So that'll be really helpful because they're going to be retrograde, they're going to be trine to your Virgo, and you're going to feel a lot less self-critical. I know it's really hard for you to not self-criticize, but please try to maybe, you know, with the Mercury in Pisces, put on inspirational music, put on, you know, Gloria Gaynor, you know, I Will Survive. Put on stuff that you find inspirational rather than letting those Virgo planets be mean to you. This is what you had is a once every 249-year transit. Only happens once every 249 years. Not everybody's going to have it, but you did. And it's a biggie. It's angular. So you really, you know, it's not normal. I mean, it was hard. So you have to kind of go, okay, I just went through hell, and I'm on the other side of it because you've been released. You don't have to talk to those people anymore. Right?
Right.
You're done.
I guess the thing that I just keep, what I do keep beating myself up about is I left a job 7 years ago the same way. You know, I gave them two middle fingers. Because they were just acting a fool, you know? And I'm just kind of like, okay, if this repeated itself, like...
Exactly, once Saturn did bear away.
You know? And, like, there's a part of me that is really hard-headed when it comes to the power rules that you guys were talking about. It's like, I don't want to play those games. I don't want to play that game. I refuse to, so I'd rather... put my middle finger up and go, you know, where other people...
Yeah, but that's the Aries that's saying, you're learning that telling them off is different from being empowered yourself.
Right.
They're still in power when you're telling them off.
Right, because you're reacting. They're still setting the paradigm. Until you start creating your paradigm and keeping your focus where you want to go, it doesn't quite work the same.
Right, because if you're giving them the power, then you're reacting to them, as opposed to saying, this is what I'm doing and I'm going to go do this. When you're in the struggle, right? You're in the struggle. You had a father. You had a father that was pretty, or authority figures that were pretty Plutonian. So you're still working out your father's stuff with them, rather than saying, "I can do it a different way."
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, my boss said, "You can't do it. You can't do it," which is what my father said to get me to do stuff. But my father was happy when I did it. This guy was like, "That's not what I meant," and I was like, "It is so. I wrote it down." You know, and it was like a struggle. It got me to go, okay, when someone tells me I can't do something, my immediate purpose is, yes, I can. And then I pause and I go, but do I want to? Which allows me to have the control in the power dynamic. You've got the Venus opposite the Pluto. You got to figure out which side you're on and then be able to run back and forth from Venus to Pluto, from Pluto to Venus. Because Venus rules your midheaven, right? So she's an important girl in your chart. She rules your career. So this is about you understanding what your vision of power is and working in it.
And on that note,
you did. Thank you guys.
On that note, our show
is
over.
Yep.
And we need to wish everybody a good week.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a Mars and Taurus week. Plow those fields.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And relax a bit after Mars gets out of Aries. So everybody take care. This is Heather signing off from Ronan, Montana.
And Ann Ortley from the Bright Red Desk on the Upper East Side.
And Mark Waltz over by the Hudson River.
And we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Bye.